Amen. I love Brother Jason. He is a man of God. He is a man of prayer. He's here every morning at 6 o'clock for morning prayer. He loves God. He serves God. He's a good dad. He's raised great kids that serve the Lord as well. Amen. Hallelujah. I love him. I appreciate him. He's my right-hand man around here, and we just want to welcome you to the pulpit as he comes to preach from the Word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Good to be here with each and every one of you today. Amen. I love what I feel in the house of the Lord, and I'm not just talking about the air conditioning. Amen. I appreciate the presence of God that's here. Amen. I want to give honor to my pastor. Amen. Love him. Appreciate him. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to bring forth the Word of God. Amen. I felt a couple weeks back the Lord kind of dealing with me about a few things, and I shot him a text, and he said, well, just do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I appreciate that. Amen. I feel like I have a word of the Lord. I feel like God has convicted me all week over some things. Amen. And I just want to preach what God has given me. Amen. For the church. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Are you glad to be in his house today? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you'll go with me to Matthew 25. Amen. A very familiar passage of scripture. And I'm sure that if you've been around the church for any time at all, amen, this is nothing new to you. Amen. But I've come to remind the church today. I've come to tell somebody today, amen, what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Matthew 25, starting with verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But those wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps had gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, as surely I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 9. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, God, we're just asking for your help today, God. I pray for your anointing as I bring forth this word. God, anoint my lips and anoint their ears today, God. God, have your way, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated today. Amen. For just a little while, I want to preach to you on this thought today. Out of the darkness. Out of the darkness. Amen. Unless you have been living under a rock, you are oblivious, hiding out from everybody in society. You've got your phone shut off. You've not watching any news on TV. Other than that, you would know and you would hear everywhere. Everybody's talking about the eclipse, right? Every person we run into, it seems as though that's what's topic of discussion, and rightly so. It's a pretty awesome event that's coming our way. But there's some things that I'm sure that of all the articles that you've read or perhaps people you've spoken with, maybe you don't know. There are different tribes around the world that their culture, they celebrate or they view the eclipse differently, right? So there's a tribe in Africa, and I won't give the names, But there's a tribe in Africa, they practice drinking urine for the eclipse. There's a tribe, Native American tribes, who spend time and they have a ritual they do, and they have special rocks and special arrows, bows and arrows, and they do a dance and they do some sort of celebration as they throw rocks and shoot arrows at that very moment, you know, at totality, as they call it. So different things. The moon will eclipse the sun and Venus in the same 24 hours. Did you know that? At the same time, the same 24 hours. The eclipse begins tomorrow, and it will end yesterday. It will be the longest totality on land for 13 years. And Dallas will experience one totality in until 2345. It's caused by a supermoon. Just a few here. It's North America's longest totality since 1806. A devil comet may appear during that totality. Michigan and Tennessee just get a total eclipse. But nonetheless, all these exciting things happening here, and we get to experience all the influx of people. There's estimated of roughly 139,000 people to 556,000 people coming into Ohio just for this one event, just little Ohio. Towns and cities have been preparing for this event. If you haven't tried to buy something from the store, or get some gas, or even rent a hotel room, you would know that somebody has been preparing. Some states, they have declared, or cities, they have declared it a national disaster. Some places, you know, right here in our little town, have been putting up different decorations for aliens and UFOs. So I don't know which would be a little bit worse or better, whether it be shooting rocks and arrows, drinking urine, or celebrating aliens. I haven't really decided on that one. But nonetheless, people have been preparing. For some time now, for several years, people have been preparing for this event. People have been studying, watching, preparing. They have been saving their money up to travel. People have most likely gotten oil changes and so forth, preparing their vehicles, maybe got new tires, definitely spent a little extra money on gas here recently. You know, they have been preparing. They have in advance scheduled and rented hotel rooms. Perhaps they did it early enough in the year. They were smart enough not to have to pay the extra inflated price. Who knows? People plan ahead when they want to. People have been buying decorations, and some have purchased. Has everybody got your glasses? I didn't buy any, but some folks have purchased their special glasses to be able to see. But nonetheless, all over the country, people have been preparing in their own way for this phenomenon, this event, which rightly so, this is an exciting time, right? It's something that will be remembered, and we won't experience another one for some time now. And I'm sure most of you have heard of that term, or those people who classify themselves as preppers, people who make a hobby of purchasing and collecting canned goods. They have storage rooms, whether it be in a basement that's dry, or they built a shelter in the ground, a bomb shelter of sorts. And I know it sounds crazy, but there are literal people who do these things. They prepare for the apocalypse. They prepare for the end. You know, they prepare for the worst case scenario. It is a real thing. It's not something you just see on TV. It is a real thing. People have those, and I'm sure you've seen it on one show or another, where they have a go bag, where they have money and they have flashlights. They have different things set aside because they are preparing, right? In their world, in their mind, they're getting ready. They spend money, they spend time, they spend effort in preparing for an event that they think is going to happen. People of all over are getting ready for, in their terms or in their mind, what would be a doomsday, right? In their thinking, what could be an apocalypse or what could be a doomsday? Some even believe that the eclipse could just be that. Me, on the other hand, I don't think so. I totally disagree with that line of thinking. But there are some that in their mind they have prepared in such a way for this event, right? They have gone to the extremes to collect and to prepare. And, you know, some think that there's an alien invasion, right? In me, if there was such a thing, I would truly believe they would just pass right past Earth. They would just keep on going. I mean, they take one look at our leadership and would just, we're just gone, you know. We're not going to waste our time. Those people are self-destructive. You know, some people, they dig a fallout shelter. They spend the money. They rent a machine and they dig a hole in the ground. They put the shelter in the ground and they put canned goods and dry goods and flashlights and, you know, they collect and they prepare and you know, they do all these things and they're getting ready for something. My question is today, have you been prepared? Have you been getting ready to make heaven your home? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's all going to change. We don't know when. We don't know the time nor the hour. We the Bible even is clear. We don't know. He's not going to tell us. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready, prepared. There is no one event such as an eclipse that we can put our finger on and pinpoint, live holy for 1 week, and say, I have made it. It doesn't work that way. God has called us to be a peculiar people. God has called us out of the world, out of that mess, out of that sinful, disgusting world in which we can just look out across the road, down the street. We could see a mess right in front of us. God has called us out of that mess. God has called us to be separate from the world. God has called us to live a life pleasing before him. Can you put up 1 Corinthians 15 for me? Behold, I tell you that a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Amen. In a twinkling of an eye, in an instant, amen. In a moment, we take and we consider that, oh, you know, the Lord's not going to come back today. We take that attitude as if, you know what? No, it doesn't matter. What I say, it doesn't matter. What I'm doing at this moment, it doesn't matter. No one's going to know. No one's going to see. No one's going to hear. It doesn't matter. No one's going to be aware of what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, how I'm doing it. Amen. In a twinkling of an eye. Amen. I remember, amen, young man at the time, he was a little bit older than me, serving God for some time. And it seemed as though that he just could not get his footing. It seemed as though that the world had a tug on his life, a pull on his life. And I remember this young man, and I really don't know the whole story. I was much younger, but he just struggled. He just could not seem to find his footing. And I remember the story goes, and he had ran into a preacher one weekday morning. And the preacher had said, "Hey, you know, I miss you at church." And, you know, this was a man that was faithful for a little while. He was consistent in serving God for a little while. He loved the Lord. And it just seemed that he just couldn't get himself together. It just seemed that he would go back and forth between the things of the world. And even though he loved God, it just didn't seem like he could get his footing. And he runs into this preacher. Preacher says, "Hey, I miss you. Hey, you need to come see us. Hey, come back to church. God hasn't forgotten you. God still loves you." And it wasn't there that very same day, this young man driving his motorcycle down the road, a little too fast on some wet streets, instantly died on impact. Amen. Several years ago, I was involved in a ministry that was a follow-up ministry. And I would do just that. I would follow up with folks that would come to church, and we'd be missing them for a while, and I'd have three or four people on my list. And this one particular Wednesday evening, this grandma said, "Hey, would you visit my granddaughter?" And I said, "Sure, I'll stop by Saturday morning. I'd be out visiting folks anyway. I'll swing by." And granddaughter was backslid for some time now. Her parents served the Lord. Her grandma served the Lord. And so I stopped by, and it was very casual. And I just said, "Hey, I just want you to know that we're praying for you. And I miss you. And your family misses you. Your church family misses you. We'd like for you to come back to church." And, you know, this was a young lady that was raised in the truth. And she knew the truth. And it wasn't roughly a week later. Young lady was pregnant. She was on her way to the follow-up for her doctor's appointment. She was T-boned, killed her on impact. We don't know. We don't know the day and hour and time in which the Lord has called us, amen, home. We don't know. The five wise, if we look at the five wise, they did something. They put oil in their lamp. They had oil. They had something that the unwise didn't have. They had oil. They prepared, and they went out and got oil in their lamps. What is that? What is that oil? What did they have? What does that mean when we talk about that oil? Well, if we look at the five wise, they obviously were doing something that was wise to be called wise, right? They weren't unwise, or they would all be unwise, right? So we have opposites there. So we can clearly clarify that we have some smart people. We have some not so smart people, right? And we take the wise people, and we see they had found oil. They purchased oil. What is that oil to us? That oil is prayer. That oil is studying God's word. That oil is being faithful to the Lord, gathering together. Coming to church, being faithful to the house of God. That's your oil. Your oil is serving the Lord. That's how we get oil in our lamps. That's when we're faithful to God, that's purchasing oil to put in our lamps. When we're consistently serving the Lord, when we're praying and seeking God, when we're trying our best to live for the Lord, that's putting oil in our lamps. That's getting ready for the coming of the Lord. There is no magic potion. There is no thing that we can say, abracadabra, you're ready. It comes from a consistency of living for the Lord, loving God's people, showing up, partaking in the things of God. That's how we purchase or are able to put oil in our lamps. That's how we become wise unto the Lord. It's not we're unwise when we're inconsistent with God. We're unwise when we can't show up and we're in and out, and we can't seem to find our footing. We can't seem to find our strength to stand up on our own. And there are different levels in which we're at in our growth with God. But in the end, if you could find a way, find enough strength with inside of you to show up, to study your word, to read your Bible, to be faithful, to take some time for the Lord. That's putting oil in your lamp. And I know today we're not shouting down. We're not hanging from chandeliers. We're not running around, amen, like a bunch of crazy people. Amen. But I've come to tell somebody today that it matters, that your walk matters to God. That whether or not you have oil in your lamp matters to God. That your walk with God matters. That your faithfulness matters. That whether or not you take what you're doing serious or not, it matters. It matters to the people around you. It matters to your family. It matters to your loved ones. It matters to your children. It matters. Hallelujah. 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 People all over the world have been preparing, amen, for this one event. Amen. I question if the church has been preparing for the one event that matters the most. Amen. We can't take our go bags to heaven. We can't take our collected cans of food and our storage to heaven. Amen. But we can take, amen, amen, ourselves to heaven. We can be prepared, living holy and pleasing before God. Amen. We could be studying our word. Amen. We could be fasting and seeking God and being faithful to the house of God. Amen. We could be trying to live a holy lifestyle. We can, amen, go beyond the average and just, amen, try to do our best, amen, to live for God. Amen. The best advice I had ever gotten. Amen. It's just so simple. Amen. When I was a young man in the Lord, amen, a guy had come up to me and he said, "Brother Jason," he said, "when your nose gets dirty, just wipe it off." Just that simple. When you mess up, find an altar. Get back on your knees. Get it right with God. Get yourself, pick yourself back up and keep marching on. Amen. Keep living a life before God. Amen. We have such a negative perception because of all the things that are negative in our world. We bring that on to ourselves. And when we mess up, we're so hard on ourselves. We beat ourselves up and we make ourselves feel like we're just not good enough. We're not worthy. Amen. And what makes us worthy is the blood that he shed for us. Is Calvary is what made us worthy. Amen. By his blood, by his mercy. Amen. We battle so much in the mind. And we allow our thoughts to trip us up. We allow the negativity to destroy, amen, what God is trying to do in our lives. We take on this attitude where, you know, we're just not good enough. It's just, I'm just not able to because I'm just not this. I'm just not that. I'm just not. Amen. But it is by the blood of the Lamb. It is by his mercy and by his grace that allows you, that helps you to be what he wants you to be. Amen. We're human. We're flesh. We make mistakes. We're not perfect people by any means. And because of his love and his mercy, amen, that is what makes us wise. When we are in constant pursuit of holiness, amen, did you know, amen, that God is holy? Amen, God is holy. Amen, it is holy for a man to pursue God and to lead his family to God. Did you know that? It is holy, amen, for a man to lead his family to the Lord. Amen. We prepare everything else in life. We prepare ourselves to go to work in the morning. We prepare ourselves, amen, to go to school. We prepare ourselves, amen, to whatever, to clean the house, to go to the grocery store. We make preparations to go on vacation. We make preparations to go camping. We make preparations to do all sorts of things in life. Amen. But I have to ask, are we preparing ourselves to make heaven our home? Amen. Are we preparing ourselves, amen, in a greater way for the eclipse and for this event than we are to make heaven our home? Have you prayed more this week than you've prepared for the eclipse? Have you sought God this week more than you have prepared for this eclipse? Amen. How, as a church, how, as an individual, do we prepare for heaven? What do we got to do? Amen. We talk about it on a regular basis because we want you to know. Repentance is the first thing that we got to do. Repentance is twofold. Amen. Asking God to forgive us. God, I'm sorry for these things. And turning away from those things. Stop doing those things. It's twofold. Repentance. Baptism in the name of Jesus. You've heard Pastor talk about that many times. And receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's the initial. That's the beginning. That's what we do to get started in our walk with God. Those are the first steps. Amen. But as a church, beyond that, after that, what do? We live a life pleasing before the Lord. We pray, we fast, we seek the Lord. These are the things that God has called us to do. These are the things that God has desired for us to do. We live in a world that promotes sin. We live in a world that evil is so rampant. It's disgusting. It's all around. And if we're not careful, we're going to get caught up in that business. Amen. If we're not careful. And as the bride of Christ, also known as the church, we have to realize that having sin in our life is the total opposite of being ready. Amen. I've got a confession. In no way, shape, or form am I ready for this eclipse at all. I've done nothing. I've not even bought the glasses for it. I've done nothing at all, period. We have to realize, amen, we need to understand that there is still right and wrong. We need to understand that God still hates sin, but he loves you. He loves his people. He loves, even though they have sinned, he loves sinners. You know, he's not here to destroy, to take us and throw us to the curb and kick us out, but it's still a sin. Lying is still a sin. Amen. Stealing is still a sin. Deception is still a sin. Drugs and alcohol is still a sin. Perversion is still a sin. Homosexuality is still a sin. It's still wrong. Living together before marriage, amen, is still wrong. It's still a sin. Amen. Just because the world changes, God's word doesn't change. It is still a sin. Sin is still sin. Once saved is not always saved. We see that they have the wise virgins. We see that they have oil in their lamps. And they were people who clearly knew how to pray. They were people who were not lazy. They were people who knew how to read their Bibles. They were people who knew how to be faithful. We had a term, and I wonder sometimes if the Lord has a sense of humor. We had a different names for people that we would work with. And, you know, when you would get to work with people long enough, you would recognize their personality, right? And we had this one guy, anytime we had a delivery show up, he would run to the Port-a-John. And we nicknamed him Blister. Because he would show up when all the work was done. And I wonder if the Lord has a sense of humor. Amen. But I would have to think that at the moment when God splits the clouds, at that moment when he comes back for his people, at that moment when the rapture happens and he calls his people home, I don't think he'll have a sense of humor at all. I think that if we're not ready, if we're not prepared, amen, if we're so wrapped up in an event like the eclipse, we overlook, amen, what God has called us to be as a church, as an individual, amen, we're going to miss out. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised, amen, anything. We could leave. God forbid something could happen, and that be that. God could come back. The rapture could happen in an hour at 1:59 this afternoon. We don't know. It could happen in 2026. We don't know. No man knows the hour and time in which, amen, he's coming back for his church. But I know this. I know what God has dealt with me about this week. I know what God has convicted me about this week. Amen. And we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We can't just take it easy, lackadaisical, and pretend like everything is okay. And pretend like everything is going to be all right. We can't just assume that somebody's going to do it for us. Amen. If you're not praying for your family, who is? If you're not taking the time to fast for your children, your family, your spouse, who's going to do it? If you're not taking the time to study your word, amen, and teach your family the word of God, who's going to do it? If you're not going to take the time to tell somebody in your world about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, who's going to do it? Amen. I'm talking about being prepared for the coming of the Lord. I'm talking about having your everything in a row, your ducks in a row, having the sin under the blood, living a life pleasing before God, living a life according to the word of God, living a life of understanding that you're prepared, that you're going to make heaven your home, that if he comes today, tomorrow, or the next, amen, that you're living a life, amen, that is pleasing before God. Amen. James 4 and 14, please. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not promised tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. James 4 and 14. Amen. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Amen. We don't know what's going to happen. Life is but a vapor. Amen. Here one day, gone the next. We don't know. We're not promised tomorrow. Amen. Daily prayer, amen, is what helps us to have oil in our lamp. Daily consistency, our walk with God. Amen. Not giving up when everything seems like it's against us. Not throwing in the towel when everything and every person seems like it is putting pressure on our life up against us and back against the wall. Amen. We are not promised tomorrow. Amen. If you throw in the towel, what example is that to your kids? If you give up now, what example is that to your spouse? If you walk away now, what is that? What is that saying about your walk with God? Amen. The having oil in your lamp is coming to church. Having oil in your lamp is daily repentance. Having oil in your lamp is living pleasing, holy before the Lord. Amen. Having oil in your lamp, being prepared, amen, is not something that happens a one time, a one moment, and one day. It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes preparing. Amen. They didn't just wake up one morning and say, oh, there's an eclipse. Amen. We're just going to show up. Oh, there's an event happening. Apocalypse is happening. These people were prepared. These people were ready. These people had things saved up and ready to go. Amen. The question is today, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Amen. The very thing that the Lord wanted with Adam in the beginning is what he still desires and what he wants from us today. He desires that intimate relationship. He desires that one-on-one time, that one-on-one relationship. You see, I'm all for the shout and, you know, and I'm all for, you know, worshiping and shouting and all that in the church and running the aisles and jumping up and down and showing our excitement for the Lord. But it has been my experience, just my experience and my personal opinion, that real growth happens not so much in a experience or a scene like this. Real growth happens when you're all alone, driving down the road, and you're able to raise your hands and you can begin to worship the Lord and you can begin to tell God how much you love him and you begin to tell God how much you repent of your sins and how sorry you are of what you've said and what you've done. It's one thing to do it in an atmosphere, and I believe it helps and it's needed, what we have and what we do. I'm not in any way preaching against it. But what I am saying is that there's a time and a place for everything. And real growth happens when you can do it without being coached. Real growth happens when you can do it all on your own. Real growth happens when you stop drinking the milk and begin eating the meat. Real growth happens when you can walk all on your own, one step at a time, living for God, pushing through every trial, every circumstance, every pain, every difficulty. Sure, we need one another. Yes, we need one another. But God is calling, is looking for a church that is ready. God has called us out of the mess that we're once in. God desires an intimate one-on-one relationship with you. God desires you to be holy outside these walls. God desires you to praise Him and worship Him outside these walls. God desires you to live pleasing outside these walls. God desires more of you than just what's inside these walls. God desires from you, amen, to have a prayer life outside these walls, to be fasting outside these walls, to be telling somebody about Jesus outside these walls, to be living for God outside of what we have here. This is a hospital where we're to come to get healed up, to get refreshed, and to take what we get, what we receive here, outside there, and to show and tell everybody else what God has done for us. That's what God wants. That's what God is looking for in a healthy church and a healthy relationship with Him. That's what God desires. He doesn't want us to come back every week and repent over the same thing over and over again. Amen. God is looking for a church that is healthy, that is pleasing, that is victorious. God has called us out of that mess. We got to stop going back to it. God has called you beyond your mess. God has called you out of those things. God has called you beyond those things. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. It's not always in a shout. Amen. It's not always, amen, in a room full of people. Amen. God has created us to be His prized possession. And of all the things that He has spoke into existence with His hands, amen, He formed us. And His breath that's within us. We are His prized possessions. And not only that, is we are His masterpiece. Amen. I like how Pastor had mentioned that to me a week or two ago about all the planets. And if you look at our position, we're just His masterpiece. He took a little extra time and effort with us. Many things He just spoke into existence. But you and I, He took a little extra effort. And then those times, amen, of difficulty, God knows your deepest, darkest pain. God knows your deepest secret. He knows every struggle. He knows every thought, every disappointment in your life. He knows every time that you've faltered and failed. He knows every disappointment that you've received. He knows every part of you. He knows every thought that ever runs through your mind. He knows every trial that you've ever encountered. He knows every time somebody has offended you, somebody has hurt you, somebody has taken advantage of you, He knows. He loves you. Beyond your mistakes, beyond your failures, He knows. The sickness that you've endured, the pain in your body, the troubles that you've had, God knows. He's been there the entire time. He loves you. Amen. In those deepest, hardest trials, God hasn't forgotten you. God loves you. You are His precious. He knows every thought. He cares about the very things that we struggle with. The very things that are important to us are important to Him. He knows where we're at in life. He knows the struggle. He knows what you're going through. There's nothing that we can hide from Him. There's nothing that we can keep away from Him. There's nothing that we can ignore that He doesn't already know about. He loves us. In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our failures, God still loves us. We are His precious possession. Amen. We are His masterpiece. We are important. You are important to the King of Kings. You are one of His. You are a child of the King. you are, no matter how far it may seem you've gone, no matter where you're at today, no matter how long it's been since you've been to the house of God, no matter how long it's been since you've been to an altar, God still loves you. God still cares about you. You are still on his mind. God still thinks about you. God is still wanting you to come back. God is still looking down the road like that prodigal, that the father of the prodigal son, looking down the road for that day that you'll come back to him. God cares about the things that have hurt you. God cares about the difficulties that you've experienced. God cares about every last little thing that you've ever experienced. God cares about the brokenness in your home. God cares about the brokenness in your body. God cares about the frustration that you deal with. God cares about every detail of your life. There's not one thing that has happened in your past or is happening now or will happen in the future that he doesn't care about. He cares about every thought that crosses your mind. God loves you. You are his prized possession. Amen. Of all the people that have hurt you, of all the things that have come against you in your life, all the challenges that you faced, all the difficulties that you've struggled with in your life, God still loves you. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's still the lover of your soul. He still cares deeply about you. Every pain, every struggle that you've ever gone through, every trial, every circumstance that's ever come your way, God still loves you. He loves you in a way that there's just not enough words. He loves you deep. He loves you long. He loves you in a way that's almost indescribable. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter how far it seems that you've gone from God, God still loves you. God still cares. He still cares. He still desires for you to come home. He's still longing for you to come back. He's still desiring for you to make your way back. Amen. To the masters. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God loves you today. God loves you today. Hallelujah. God loves you today. Hallelujah. I've come to encourage somebody with this, that you don't have to leave the same way that you've come in today. You don't have to leave the same that you come in. Perhaps you come in broken. Perhaps you've come in hurting. Perhaps you've come in empty. Perhaps you've come here today with just so much pain and anguish and hurt and brokenness in your body, in your mind, in your heart. I've come to tell you today that you don't have to leave the same as you come in. Amen. Amen. Of all the people, hallelujah, that we encounter, that we run into, hallelujah, of all the preppers and those getting ready, hallelujah, I have to wonder if they know who the Prince of Peace still is. Those spending so much time and energy wondering when the end is going to happen, do they know who the Prince of Peace is? All the anxiety and the fear, do they know who the Prince of Peace is? Hallelujah. 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 Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. 1 John 1 and 9. Hallelujah. 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 Whereas you do not, or if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. He still loves you today. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how long it's been, amen, since you've found a place to pray. I don't know how long it's been since you've come to an altar and talked to the Lord a little bit. I don't know. Hallelujah. 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 But there's still peace here. Amen. There's still healing. There's still the love of God. Amen. It's still here right where you left it. It's not change. God doesn't change. There's still healing for your soul, for your body. There's still peace. There's still joy. There's still love. Hallelujah. Still right here. Amen. In the presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. He's not changed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's been a long time since you've come and prayed. It's been a long time since you've fallen on your face at an altar and talked to the Lord. It's been a long time since you've been honest with yourself and been honest with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you do today, I have a word. If you come to this altar and you confess your sins to God, amen. Thus saith the Lord, I will restore you. Hallelujah. I will restore you, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord, I will restore you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. She's going to begin to play, and I'm going to call an altar call. I'm going to ask everybody, if you would, to come. Join me in the front. Hallelujah. 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 There's a place for you. Hallelujah. There's a place for you. Hallelujah. At this altar. There's a place for you in the kingdom of God. There's a place for you in this church. There's a place for you. God still loves you. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. Make your way. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stop running from God. Amen. She's going to play. Amen. Let's seek, take just a few moments and let's seek after the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we love you today.